Okay, here we are, down in Mills Canyon. I struggle sometimes to figure out which, hope it doesn't close to my heart and pick up my boom, beating heart. This is Boris's first introduction to his new life, my car, as a camp car. I'm going to retrofit it pretty shortly to sleep in. Found some stuff on the internet so we can make it you can roll down the windows and still have screens. At some point here, I need to go down the river. I don't know if that's a car ride away or whatever, but I need to make my way down there. Like I said, I don't know when to do a video, when to do audio. I prefer audio all the time. Videos are shaky and, you know, most of the time what you're looking at isn't terribly important. Facebook, that's the funny thing about Facebook. Facebook's got a lot of stuff out that really is just made for just audio. I mean, they've got people who have recorded hundreds of hours of, like, 80s music. When they put it up there, maybe with just a static picture, maybe with something that changes a little bit, who knows, but yeah. Audio files are in a strange state. The problem is that these, you know, it's kind of like watching a news report where a reporter's on there and all they are is a freaking talking head. They aren't showing you anything. They're just two talking heads talking at each other, which you could record just fine as audio, and it would go over really well. Now, it doesn't take away from the fact that you can have pictures and video, both of which are really very, very useful and wonderful. Oh, here's some. The camping spot I got to was pretty much just the one that was closest to the privy, to the head, to the whatever you call it, the place where you go to the bathroom. And I like that because I often need to do that. This is a day trip. Took the missionaries to Mascaro, and then I dropped them off and I drove on up through Roy and up here to Mills Canyon. This is the Canadian River. Run through this area. And this is part of the Kiowa grassland. And they've got this little campground here. Not a big one, but a nice enough one. This is real sandy right here. We must be pretty close to the river if I'm getting sand, you know. Every place that's close to a river ends up getting a little sandy as the water floods and goes. I can't see the river, but I think it's right over there. I don't know. I don't see a thicker trail to it. I'm wondering. I'm kind of not wanting to just go cross country, but I'm not really dressed for it. Lots of grass burrs. Oh man. I don't think I want to mess with these grass. That's what we get for getting on sand. If you see something that looks like grass on sand, that's grass burrs, man. Don't even think another second about what it might be. That's exactly what it is. Oh, there's some other stuff. But yeah, so I go thinking, ooh, man, I'm getting grass burrs. The stick them out of your socks. It's terrible. Anyway, hey, this morning's been a pretty momentous day. I made a QSO on 2 meter, national call frequency. Freddie, I've got to go back and make sure I got his call sign right. Problem is, I'm not writing this stuff down as I go. That's something I need to repent of. And have a little bit of a conversation with him. Right there while I was doing the Saturday morning walk. Boy, this gum had some sweet flavor early on. Boy, they got another. Let's go to the bathroom. This is really quite a nice campground. Usually for a campground, I don't know how big it is, how many camping spaces there really are here. But usually you only have one for several things. Anyway, that's just cool. This campground is only about 2 hours from home. Got some great things to look at. I'll certainly be taking either a little bit of video or some picture. And this is pretty dang nice. Huh. Somebody left some stuff, but I don't know if they're out doing stuff and just left stuff here to kind of mark that this is here. Oh yeah, there's somebody over there. Yeah, I think there's somebody camping out. They drove off to go find civilization a little bit. That's good. Wow. This is it? This is all there is. Oh shoot. Well, there's one up there, but I think that might to be up the side of this. So right now, I'm just kind of walking around the campground. I don't know if I'm going to run into kind of a trail here that goes down to the river. So I'm looking up at the strata, rock formations. It's amazing over time how much erosion water will do. It's a heck of a thing. Anyway, there's a lot of facilities here. I've only seen 4 or 5 things. Oh, here we go. Here is a trail. Doesn't say exactly what. All it does say is you can't take an ATV, a motorcycle, a Jeep, or a car over here. This is strictly for hiking, and they all have signs that say record high flood level. I think that's to make you feel better about how horrible things are. Of course, it's not that they've kept records here forever. All right, we're going to take a little hike on this little trail. Oh. Now, I'm guessing that this trail will lead us down to the water. They've done a lot of work putting up rocks on one side to make sure that you didn't use this, because this gives every impression of having been a Jeep trail. So they blocked it off pretty effectively. And Yeah, we'll go down to the river here. From here. Perfect. Didn't take much looking to go find it. Listen, cactus? The cactus have been amazing this year. The flowering must have been great because, let me tell you, the fruit that's been left after the flowering, like I'm looking at one right now, it's prickly pear. It's got, I don't know what you should call those things, right? I used to know. Each individual prickly pear leaf, not really leaves, patty, whatever they are, this is really a trail, huh? It's like, where's the trail? I just lost the trail. I think it's going down this way. Not a very clear trail at all now. But we'll see if we can follow what seems to be a trail here. I don't know where this is headed, because I can see the river right over there, but we're not doing anything. We'll probably take a video once I finally get down close to the water. You can take a look and see what I'm seeing. But we're going down, I think. I think I'm hiking on the trail. I still see kind of deep trail stuff. Okay, I think we're alright. We got the normal grass around here, which is kind of prairie grass. Now it's growing real good. It's still pretty green. This time of the year, it's just after the middle of August, pretty much the hottest time of the year. Still looking pretty good. It's not gone totally brown. Oh. Anyway, lots of yucca. I'm not sure what that plant is, but anyway, lots of different things. Big bushy, I forget what kind of evergreen sort of trees these are. Oh, they're pinyons, probably not. Anyway, go ahead down. I'm probably going to be able to see the river pretty shortly. Wow. So I was wanting a good walk. So this morning, Lisa and Matt didn't take me on such a strenuous up and down. Chicken Pea's got some good contour changes, pretty good elevation changes for being inside of a town. But, well, I can see the river. I don't know. You can barely see the river. Let me go out and get a video of this if you happen to be looking at the videos. I guess I'll put them on Facebook. I don't know. Okay. Now I think you can see right there a little bit of the river. You can see the edge, I hope. Down here in Mill Canyon, this is the Canadian River. Not a very impressive river, but none of the rivers in this part of the world particularly are very interesting, as you can see all the way up the gorge here. We're down the gorge. amongst the trees and the cactuses and the, oh, so it looks nice and verdant. Things are looking good. A couple of vultures up there circling around or something. And, reasonably pretty place. You know, people go, well, it's not the mountains. And you go, well, I'm not that close to the mountains. Through the mountains, from Chicamcare, you have to go kind of 2 hours in another direction. Everything in life is about 2 hours away from Chicamcare. Civilization, rivers, that's not true. The Canadian River does wind around and get a lot closer to Chicamcare, about half an hour off where the lakes are. This is where you can camp without feeling like you're on top of each other. It's a bunch of screaming maniacs. Anyway, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, well, that's enough for the video, I think. Let's go, I'd take some pictures too. That's important. I don't want to throw videos up on the Tweaky? I'm not sure how to pronounce. I don't think anybody cares. I call it Tweaky because it's after Wiki. The Wiki. Am I hearing morons honking their horn here? Or is that? Animal. Come out here. We get a little distance from people. You know, when I was younger, one of my goals was to live the kind of lifestyle I could be away from other people. It didn't really work out that way, and I think it's probably because I'm married to a wife that wants a good living. I just finally pulled myself out of what little contention there probably was for the Cooperative Extension Service job in Clay County. And I say it probably didn't have a lot of competition because I am probably the absolute worst sort of person for that kind of job. But that job demands, I think, a certain amount of political correctness, or at least being able to put aside your own personality in favor of being politically correct. I'm going to come back down here, see if I can see the river still. I might get a lot better. Ooh, I'm a lot more higher over it. There's a good chance I'll be able to see it from up here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I better take a video of this. Because this is excellent. I'm almost on a bluff right on top of the darn thing. See a little arm of it. Yeah, it is running a bit. Uh-oh. I don't want to get tangled up. Glad I wore my... I didn't wear my five-finger shoes. Those definitely are not the right shoes for bizarre terrain and cactus and garbage like that. All right. I hope the combination of me and this rock aren't too heavy. This looks like the place where people would want to dive off. Although, I got no impression this thing is deep enough to do anything there. I'm gonna get up here on this rock. This is beautiful. Alright. Now. Okay. Hang on, let me get this video on. Now, you're pretty accustomed to New Mexico looking kind of gnarly and nasty and unpleasant. We're here at Mills Canyon once again. It was just a few minutes from the last video. Here's the Canadian River going down through it. This is actual water. Wow. Now I'm on this rock here. which if you look straight down from it, you're looking right down on that river here. Let me pull you out there a little bit. Anyway, so goes up that way, goes over that way, and then out to the what's called the orchard. Now I think all this stuff over here used to be orchard. And I took a picture of what of the kind of stuff I used to grow here. Of course, since there's so much water here, it's going to be burdensome to be able to grow a lot of wonderful stuff in it. It did well. There was a flood through here. Around about, I don't know, the 19-aughts or the 19, the very, like 1910, 1911. Oh my gosh, that was a fish. That kind of scared me. Oh, I can see some, I don't know if you can see those turtles down there. You can kind of see the ripples they were making. The big ripple is from the fish or something. And there were some turtles coming up just to kind of get some air. Wow. There's some pretty cool stuff in there. Anyway. Nineteen teens, there was a big flood through here. And destroyed all the orchard. I guess it saved some, but they really couldn't recover. So I don't know if any of the original trees, they'd be long dead by now. Fruit trees don't last forever. It's been just a bit over 100 years at that time. So the orchard's long gone. This thing has reverted back to nature, what it was before, for a good bit. Anyway, there you go. If you thought all eastern New Mexico was a barren, flat wasteland of hellaciousness, there's some pretty spots of this. There's not a lot of them, but there are some. Okay. Oh, you know, I never turn off the audio. I just record and record and record. And this stuff will end up going to the old gopher. Anybody who's got any gumption at all can go to the gopher. It's all webified, too. You can use a regular web browser to get to it, too. But most people will go, well, it's not compelling enough. It's not pretty enough. And it's like, oh, well. Another reason why I probably wouldn't make it for very long at the Cooperative Extension Service, because frankly, I don't spend a lot of time making garbage pretty. I like to spend my time having little adventures, not huge ones. Making a little record of it. I don't mind the fact that you have to dig around to get to it. I don't think things that are easy to go for, clickbait, basically, are very compelling. All right. Well, I think that's the... I don't know where this trail's leading me now. Like somebody got to put a trailing up to the very top of this little rise here. I don't think I have any interest in following that particular. Anyway. Nice pleasant little walk. I'm hoping it's kind of a, what do you call it, well, it's kind of a loop that doesn't end up being just a, how do you call it, in and out. Otherwise, I'd have to come right back over here. Yeah, look, that thing goes all the way up. Well, you need a heck of a 4x4 and hope it didn't flip you over to get up that hill. I think it gives you, you know what? I'll go up there. Get a good view. Take a little panoramic picture, perhaps. Maybe a bit of a video. And I'd hate to think that I had the opportunity to take it. This isn't going to be kind of a tough hike. Anyway, made a good QSO this morning. Living in Tewksbury, harbinger of many things to come. He was talking about the fact that he's got a UHF repeater, which is just cool. I didn't really think I wanted to do something like that. You don't want to put up competition. You want to cooperate as much as you can. So if he's got a UHF repeater, well, shoot fire. Let's do that. 10, 20, he says he has kind of a 20-foot pole that he puts it on. That's pretty good. Well, I'm at the top. Nice. There. I don't, it's just basically a loop around a tree and come back down. Let's see how it looks over here. Definitely at the highest point. As always, getting down, a lot more treacherous than coming up. Anyway, ooh, I think this is pretty nice. Panoramic picture. Yeah. Let's do it. This is going to be a really big one. But just barely today got me a panoramic, or did the panoramic view, so we're going to see how it does. I didn't do big panoramas. Now I'm just probably going to do almost a 360. All right, here we go. I've gone over the limit of what this little baby can do. Okay, there's one. What's it doing? I don't know. Did I not stop it good enough? Let's go over here. Let's do this another one. This looks pretty good. Let's start up here. This one might come out a lot better. Okay. Oh! There. That's a good spot right here to get a whole bunch. Not many trees to block the view. Okay. Start again over here. I think this almost covers the whole thing. Alright. So, now we'll do a video. So we can get kind of a whole thing of them. I'm on top of this knoll here. You can see how far down. This is the road I came in right here. You see the road. Kind of place that's marked as the orchards over yonder there. Go around here. Beautiful, wonderful. When you climb mountains, you get up toward the top, you get above the tree line, and it just gets kind of, I don't know, it's ugly, but it's, you know, you lose the trees, you're much more exposed, and boy, let me tell you, the world is rot with here, let me go this way. The world's rot with sunburn. You really got to be worried about sunburn here. The valley continues on down that direction. And here I'm going to go up. We can catch the very top here. The river's actually down here. It kind of goes right along this little thing here. You can't really see it from this vantage point too well at all. And it's beautiful. It's nice here because you still got trees. You still got things to... Oh, block the sun for Pete's sake. Okay, oh yeah, you know what? I think we're going to be able to see the river from this side. So we're coming over here. I'm on top of this little... Oh, you can just barely see a little bit of river right there. Of course, if I go over a little further, you'll see a big patch of it. Comes through a wide spot right over there. Getting a little windy, which is nice. I like the wind out here. You can see the trees blowing in the wind and the grass a little bit down there. Anyway, here we go. Up on this grassy knoll, I came up this little bit. This used to be a Jeep trail. Now they said that no Jeeps are allowed up here. You're just kind of you only hike on this one. Came up this way, go back down that way. Anyway, there you go. Mills Canyon, Canadian River Valley, Mills, New Mexico, just not too far from Roy, New Mexico. And talk to you later. Yeah, I'll be careful with the battery on this stuff. I guess it takes a high power charger really to shove some more power on these phones. I think I can stabilize so they're not losing any more power with what I have here. I didn't pack it up though. I didn't pack it and bring it home to Tucum Carry. I left it in my office in Portales. And, can I be honest? Probably spend the week in Portales. Let me tell you, hopefully it will give us enough money to finance some of these little adventures. I justify a little bit by taking the missionaries off to Mascaro. And they'll be up here in Roy, too, probably later on. I don't know how much action there's going to be in there, Visa, but I think the missionaries are looking for a little adventure. I can't blame them at all. I'm the same sort. And as long as I have some resources, which is basically what my patriarchal blessing said. It says that I'll have the health and the strength and the means to contribute to the work. I never really knew exactly what that meant. Guessed sometimes, wasn't real sure. And I don't know if this is what my patriarchal blessing means. If it is, that's... I'm okay with that. I'm good. I hope that because I got this shirt on and the recording device is in the shirt that you're not getting all the feedback from the wind. I'm hoping it's blocking you from the majority of the wind if you're not hearing my heartbeat too hard. Anyway. All right. Well, that was some good... That was a pretty good little jaunt up there. Now we're back on the Jeep trail. Of course, I can see here that somebody took an ATV up here, which you're not supposed to do. But you know what? A lot of people are just flat disobedient. And I mean just nasty though. Now I'll bend some rules quite often, actually. Especially when it comes to like matters of protocol. You shouldn't be doing that. You know, that's, you weren't asked to do that. And you go, I don't sit around waiting for people to ask me. Christ, of course, told us that we shouldn't wait for some kind of call to do something, to contribute, to try to have an influence on others. It's not really, you know, we're supposed to go and do stuff. So, I took a strange up to Mascaro. Everybody said, well, that's just a fool, Aaron. I said, if they, you know, sure is a lot of gas taking them up there, and you go, eh. I make sure I live out other motives too. I like hiking. In fact, this hike right here on this kind of Jeep trail reminds me so much. Every lunch for maybe over 2 years, maybe more than that, I would go take a walk at lunchtime out in the Jeep trails out at the Ag Science Center in Tucumcari. Now, it was the same trip every time, but it was about, I'd say it was about half a mile. So it would be half a mile out and half a mile back. You get about a mile in. That was pretty good. Sometimes you trudged and tried to do it fast. Other times you were like, yeah, I'm not in a big rush. Keep you from going insane. It was while I was doing that hike that I, it's not a loop, but it went right back to the main road. So, not too bad. That was just a little bit, I don't even know if that was half a mile. But that's pretty good. My little sign here says, yeah, just the same old thing. Take horses and you can hike on this one. Okay. So I bet if I go down the road a bit, I'll run back into the campground. I thought it was right here, but it's not. Huh. I hope I'm not on the far side of it. I think I am. Okay. It was during those walks when I came up with the whole idea. I was about 44 years old, and I was saying, do I want this to be my last job? Do I want to make this amount of money? Do I want this to be my legacy? And I decided I wanted to at least try something else, try to improve my prospects just a little bit more. And, I sure did. There was all the attempts to go to school, get my master's in Shetland. That didn't work out. I ended up getting my master's online here in just wherever I was, which I believe is what the guys said over in Britain. They said, you can take this master's degree remotely. You don't have, we're not going to give you a visa to come to Britain to study. No good. And I was like, thanks, jerks. Anyway, and then we were looking at Alaska and going and working for somebody up in Alaska. Got lots and lots of job interviews, but nothing ever, no job offers came. I don't know how good of an interviewer I am. Anyway, we were doing all that, and then the opportunity at Eastern New Mexico University, not very far away at all from Tucumcari, only about 100 miles. But they were gonna give me the opportunity to learn something different. I was getting a little bored, just working on regular computers. Boring. Got the people out there. I don't know if there's so much training, but it was just over the hurdle of being afraid. And my basic thing to them was, don't worry, if you break it, I can fix it. And they got pretty adept at taking their own initiative when things kind of went funny, when they would normally call and say, well, I'm afraid to touch it for fear I'm going to break it. And you go, oh, go ahead and break it. If you break it, I'll come fix it. So I wasn't doing a whole lot at all. I was sitting around the office just kind of picking my teeth, waiting for something to happen. So I got the opportunity in Portales to actually work on servers and bigger stuff, play a little bit with bigger networks. I started doing that, but the cost of living difference between where we were living and how much we ultimately, what we ultimately got in Portales was just, it was stunning. It was stunning how much we were doing just fine, making the amount of money we were making in Tucumcari, but that it wasn't cutting it in Portales, and we ultimately had to take a much better paying job. Further afield, Oklahoma City, Purdell, and then I got my call center experience. I worked for 6 months with the Dell Technical Support Call Center, working with high complexity Linux, and it made me sound so good. They called me a senior technical support engineer, which was so impressive. And so job came up with DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency, which had a big data center in Oklahoma City, and I got a job there. It wasn't going very well. Things kind of went kind of spooky. Didn't go very well at all. And it wasn't because I wasn't doing the job well or because people weren't happy with me and my contribution. It was because sometimes I would work extra hours to make sure things got done. The customers were really important. My employer was getting upset, and I understand that it's because, you end up having a, you can get in trouble. If you're working off the clock, that's illegal. But, yeah, the job kind of, it wasn't that it didn't require that. It didn't do that. I talked to other people, and then I say, well, if you have the right contractor, if you don't tell them, they ain't asking. If you show up like a half an hour late from work because you had worked an extra half an hour some other time, most contractors would just kind of turn their head and say, I'm not going to get weird. You guys were kind of new, the ones I was working for, and they were strict, and I got into trouble, and they were pretty much saying that they were going to get rid of me if I didn't straighten out that way, and I was going to get, how do you say it? Anyway, they were going to have somebody have to monitor all my working hours. I was like, I'm not interested. That's not, no. So I was real lucky. One of the bigger contracts there not just working on computers, but actually running one of their applications, which was the PKI system for a big chunk of the government. I got on helping kind of as the assistant to the site engineer. And then something happened that made me kind of go, you know, I'm not really sure. I'm very excited about this kind of work. The pay was excellent. I ultimately made 77 there. I became the engineer myself when the other engineer lost his security clearance. And that's kind of a whole scary story in itself about, you know, I don't think he'd ever did anything wrong. But he was only 3 o'clock. I told the missionaries I'd meet him back there at 5. I got another 2 hours here. I'm gonna go ahead and go around on this road here and see what else I can see. Oh, man. Oh. Oh. Ouch. Anyway. And, here, turn that off. Pull down the windows so I can get some air.
The Virginia statue.
Turn this off. Listening to American Gospel. What a cool book. Anyway, alright. Go on, Boris. Let's get some gas before I go back to the Talus on Monday morning. I'll get some gas. Anyway, so. And for not much less, for $75,000 a year, I got a job at Cannon Air Force Base. And, boy, let me tell you, I don't think Lisa's ever lived so high on the hog as she did for that year while I was working for Cannon for that amount of money. That was just great. She loved Oklahoma City. She liked the house that she had. I didn't like it much. Anyway. And I had a heck of a commute to work. There's lots of traffic. You know, Lisa had a couple of bad scrapes driving around. But she had a job for a little while, which she hadn't had in years. And I hope I can make it through this. There's some bad road there. Anyway, she was just for one day a week cleaning the temple in Oklahoma City. Funny thing was, the temple was about ready to close down for 2 years because they found mold. And so yeah, her job was gonna dry up pretty fast. Not that that was neither here nor there. It wasn't like we needed the money to pick up. It did come in kind of handy for something. Anyway, she loved Oklahoma City. I was kind of, I was okay with it, but it wasn't like, oh wow, this is amazing for me. It was okay. But, yeah, I was like, I don't want to stay here forever doing this. And it was another one of those, not terribly high stress, but it was getting there. Oh, man, there's a big old, boggy, stinking mess. Oh, I'm not going down that way. I'm not going to go around that. Okay, so we're, and that's been the story kind of with this trip today. We went down, Mascaro Canyon Road, which is really pretty and really nice. It doesn't really have a river going through it, but it's just about as beautiful. And we got to one washed out place where it was really dicey, and it's like, no, we're not gonna take a Honda Civic through this. Just this ain't gonna happen. So anyway, hope I make it back to the main road and up out of here. There's a lot of little crossroads here. Oh, this is a nice train. Like they put up kind of a table looking thing here. Or an altar. Anyway. And nice tree. Oh my gosh, are those apples? I think those are apples. Hang on. I might end up getting, I don't know if that's a leaf or if that's an apple. Let me go. I'm gonna take a look. Am I gonna crawl a little bit? Just a little bit. That can't be. That's a regular old elm tree. That cannot be an apple. I think, well, I don't know. I'm gonna go take a look anyway. It's a really round leaf if it's a leaf. Yeah, fire pit here. I don't know what this all is, but it used to be a place to come, I guess. No, it's not. But let me tell you, it's a big old seed pod. I wonder if I could take this home to Lisa. We could plant this. Lisa's saying she wants some other trees. But yeah, that's a heck of a seed pod. Ooh boy, let me tell you, that thing's putting out liquid. Wow. I don't know what kind of tree this is. Kind of scraggly looking. But, looks pretty good. I don't know what that's gonna become ultimately. Some kind of a fruit. I'm not going to eat it. Anyway, stick that in the back seat of the car. I'm going to have to do some research on this one later. Here, let me take a picture of it. Along with the campsite I pulled it out of. So here's the fruit. Now here's the campsite thing. Yeah. Okay. So if you ever look at the pictures from this, I'm not sure exactly where I'm going to stick them. Everything ends up on the gopher site. So never be afraid. You know, it's always going to be the gopher site for you. Put it right here. There we go. Oh. Got some nice white sap on it. Not sure how I feel about it, but there it is. Oh, well, that's back too far. I like sitting up. I want to sleep. Alright. Back in there. They did kind of look like apples ultimately, but they're not. They're something else. I don't know. We'll go do some research on it when we get back to where we're going. Well, I'm not sure how much further I want to go. There's some, it looks like, I don't know if they're foundations of old houses or what. I heard there was used to be something akin to a hotel that Mills had built down here, or somebody had built down here. Boy, this is one rutted road. I'm having to be really careful on it to make sure I don't go into a big old rut. Oh! I think this stuff is up high enough that wouldn't have gotten flooded out. According to the markers for the highest flooding, I think we're above that. But we're kind of going through a bit of a meadow. that last place I was at looked like that was the most likely place to have a turnaround. Oh. Well, it goes down here much because there's a lot of... I'm getting my undercarriage clean by these weeds that are down the middle of this Jeep trail. I don't know if I can turn around here. I might just turn around. I don't know. Anyway. Well, you know what? I'm going to keep going because I'm just that crazy. Boy. Are we right here by the river? We're right here by the river. Here is the last little campsite out here. And yep, sure enough, here's the river. So I'll probably be wanting to get out here and take a bit of a video here. Turn things off. Yeah, there's a little bit of a fire pit here. This is where everybody turns around, because the road doesn't go any further than this. I don't think we'll do a panorama here. Oh, I don't know, it's really good. Here. Let's do both, what the hell, dang it. Okay, here comes the panorama shot. I'm trying to get some trees in this one. There's some, I don't know if there's a Quakeys or what they are exactly. But, making some noise, making some trouble, just in case you thought this was an ugly, horrible place. Big gouge on the earth, tearing up. Go all the way around, you're gonna get a little hit of Boris. And then, we'll give it a, that's it, okay. Alright, I'll video. Okay, here we go. We're probably at the far end. The road I was taking in here does a little circle around. I got to circle around, and then we're going to go back the way we came, which was down back this way. Hi, Boris. Doing good, Boris? Getting used to your new life. You're not going to be a show car anymore, bud. Sorry. And, oh, man, that is beautiful stuff. Anyway, this continues to be the Cane River. We're at a far end of the place. This is the river down here. You can see it going off that way. I hear some noise. I don't know if it's some animal breaking through here. You can get almost every animal here that you can imagine. You know, people say, Eastern Refco, there's no bears here. And you go, oh, God, yes, there is. Bear, deer. I don't know how much elk there is here, but it's a possibility. And, you know, all the game that you would normally expect to have around a river, no matter where it is, you're going to tend to have it here as well. And people think that's kind of odd, but there it is. Flying flies get me. Suckers. Oops. Did I turn it off? I turned it off. Yeah, I think there's some kind of animal down there. I'm afraid it's going to be a bear. Come out on me. Not sure how I'm going to feel about that. Anyway, okay. Okay. Ah. 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 Thank you. You heard that, didn't you? Not turning around very gracefully, but I'm getting there. All right, here we go. Rocking out of here. Okay. So, yeah, the river was just right there, handy. Beautiful, beautiful. If I were to take the road from Roy to Wagon Mound, I'd run into the river again. About the normal size river for this part of the world, or a little bit of it. That's very often common junk. Most places it'd be called a stream. But, you know, it's a river here. The Canadian River, I think, eventually meets up with the Red River way over in the far side of Texas. I think it constitutes the Texas-Oklahoma border, and the Red River ends up going over there, and then, you know, I think it meets up with the Arkansas. And then the Arkansas eventually goes to maybe the Mississippi. I don't think it goes all the way to Mississippi at all. Anyway, so it eventually ends up there in the Gulf of Mexico. Everything ultimately makes its way in the Gulf of Mexico around here. On the east side of the Continental Divide. So all the water drains toward, they say, the Atlantic, and that's true. The Gulf of Mexico drains in the Atlantic. Of course, it's as big as any sea, for Pete's sake. But yeah, it's just the Gulf of Mexico. Anyway, I'll through here snow. I'm not in kind of rush at all. Certainly had enough food, although I won't speak to how fantastic it is. Oh, my water's getting hot. Water's getting hot. Gosh darn it. Maybe when I make it back to Roy or Mascaro, I'll find someplace to get some water. Kind of take care of stuff. Alright, well, let's see here. Oh, Oklahoma City, yeah. Let me tell you, after I was getting back now, I did not like the military contract I was working on at Canon. There was one where they expected one person to do the work of a crew, five or more. And all it was going to take was one decent audit, and they would have come back and said that we weren't doing the job as they requested. The actual work, the actual end product was being done, but the contract also talked about a lot of ancillary things, and I was in charge of one of the ancillary things, and I did not have the resources, nor did they have the interest in giving me the resources to do it right. Okay, I'm just got to the cutoff to the campground where I ate And I'm going to go ahead and start heading out. It's going to take some time. It might actually be a pretty good time because I was able to come down kind of fast, but I don't think I'm going to be able to go up quite fast. Anyway, yeah. Contracting for the military is interesting. I was working for small contractors that were winning bids to get the big established ones, mostly because saying that they could do the same thing for less money. And but the problem was that although they were doing basically the job, it was kind of cowboy doing it, which is fine with me, except that, right, I was supposed to be doing some of the stuff that only a really big organization can really manage. It's something that needs to be done by a whole bunch of people. You know, you have several contracts and some of the ancillary work. Flying ants, sort of thing. Yeah, I killed them. Okay. I had the windows open because it was hot. I didn't want to run the cooler yet. I'm running the cooler now. And, anyway, but this ancillary stuff goes by the wayside. But then when they say, hey, we're going to be audited, so everybody's supposed to drop everything and make sure everything's all right. And most of the guys who are actually doing the work, they're real pissy about having to do this part of it. I really didn't want to be the strong arm guy. It's just not my nature. And it kind of got to that level. And I'm starting to get kind of worked over by management. And so when the opportunity came to go back to Eastern, which I much prefer, just doing the work, not having to really manage it and report on it and listen to all the griping, belly aching, or anything like that. I took a big pay cut. I was making 75 with the military, and I came back to Eastern and was making, I think I was making about 56 or 57. So I took a 15, not quite a $1,500 bite. Anyway, it's a big bite. Lisa complained. Lisa bitched pretty majorly about that. All at the same time, also saying that, you know, she was really considering leaving me because of how I was behaving, because I was under such stress and there really didn't seem to be a way that I could do anything about it. There was no way to resolve the problem. And the easiest way to resolve the problem was to fire me and just hire somebody else. And that's typically how these contract places do it. If the military comes back and says, this isn't being handled the level we want it to be handled at, the easiest way to buy yourself some reprieve is to get rid of the person that was doing it and get somebody else to do it. And then you can always say, well, you know, it's going to take some time for us to get the new person up to speed. And, yeah, and then the military just has to kind of sit there and go, well, fine, take your time, whatever. You know, no, we're not going to audit you yet because it's obvious that you're not ready. And, you know, and I don't know what happened there, and I don't really care to know and stuff like that. Not that these weren't fine people to be with. They weren't fun to work with. But, and as far as I'm aware of, now I'm not a military, never been a military member, but I've worked beside military members. This is pretty standard operation. This is how it tends to go. And, you know, people always say, oh, you know, the United States military is the absolute, you know, it's the absolute model for how things should go. And you're going, no, it's not. And we go, they play games hard, and they, you know, and I'm not saying that corporations and industries don't play games as well. I'm really lucky when it comes to Eastern. I'm almost directly tied to the continual functioning of my application, which is the ERP system that pretty much runs the university. And all the student information system and all that, it's all wrapped up into one package called Aleutian Banner. And come on, Boris, you can do it, man. Come on, Boris. There you go. Woo. That was the roughest part. When I was coming down that one, I was saying, oh, my gosh, I hope Boris can handle that one little thing there. And it was getting a little rough there. Getting a little rough. Anyway, so I've got to say that I'm real happy now. Right now, between my regular salary and my adjunct teaching, I teach two semesters of a class, usually just one section of it, which pays me another $4,200 a year that gets added to my regular income. And that ends up being right at now, I think I make on the order of about, I don't know, 67.5, something along those things. I'm going to get that spot on. It's either going to go my way or I'm going to go on his one. Which way are we going? Okay, I think it's on mine. Good deal. One-lane road, man. I bet you they're looking at me going, what kind of idiot takes a Honda Civic down this road, man? These guys have these big, huge trucks. These guys look like hunters to me. You know, they have the big hunting dog, and there's four of them in this truck, and they're all dressed kind of in camo. So I think they're probably hunting. Anyway, so yeah. And I think back to how much I was making, which was about, what, 44? And this was, what, 6 or 7 years ago? In the ensuing time, the state had a real downturn, and many colleges and universities had laid off people. Incline here, and shift that down first. Take this slow. Anyway, and a lot of people lost their jobs, and I kind of came back at the tail end of that. Oil prices have gone up again, so the state's really making good money. When oil prices are good, New Mexico really prospers well, and they're able to stop doing layoffs. They don't tend to hire people back, but they tend to give the people who are left good, solid pay increase. Now I'm in a position, I'm the lead person working on this application. There is another guy who works the application as well in operations. And if things were to go bad, they would let him go before they let me go, probably. And even though I talk a whole lot more than he does, I also handle a lot more things than he does. Anyway, so let me think about this. Boy, let me tell you, we're on rocky road and going up, and here's a good thing of the orchard, and you can see a little bit of the river there. It's a little bend of the river. Beautiful, beautiful. What a wonderful time when somebody came out here. And we almost stumbled on this river. It's not that earlier explorers had not explored this river. It had not actually been taken up for settlement. And so people could just come down here and almost set up shop. The U.S. government had not yet surveyed the whole thing or chop it up into, you know, into a 160-acre lot for sale to homesteaders. So that was a good thing here. Oops, another. I wonder if I'm going to be able to get over far enough for them. I don't know. I'll give it a shot. Yeah, you made it. Okay. I'll get past them now. Get up here. Not a lot of people out here. This isn't a very regularly visited area. Not this bad at all. Just it's kind of tough to get into and tough to get out of. You know, it's not non-paved roads. People from more civilized places get kind of freaked out when they get off the pavement. And Lisa's a little bit like that. Boy, her family is a lot like that. Just no way, you know. Some Sasquatch is going to jump out of the woods and eat you. Well, they're a little weird. Anyway, but that, you know, you got to understand that. These are people who, Lisa's from New Orleans. She's lived in a place that had, you know, cobblestone paved streets since like 1550 or something crazy like that. So these are people who have lived in situations of civilization for a very long time. And going out to the boonies is what hicks do. And I guess I'm just right off of being a hick anymore. Anyway. Oh, come on, baby. You can do it. There you go. Wow. There's some things on here that I'm in first gear. So if I can't get up over it in first gear, I'm not getting over it. I don't have another gear to get to. So I've been real lucky on this road. Well, I won't be surprised if the missionary is saying, dang, where have you taken this thing? There you go. I'm taking it on some pretty tricky terrain, man. It was technically a road, but only just. Anyway, okay. Where was I? Anyway, okay, so taking the job here at Eastern. Golly. This is some hard rock tumbled garment. Jeez. Anyway, very stable. I won't be the first one to let go on any occasion at all. My boss is pretty sure, my good friend Justin, he's pretty sure that when he retires, and he's due to retire, or he can retire, I think he could probably retire in... He might be able to retire now, but I don't think he's thinking about doing that yet. But he's probably going to retire before I do. I've got at least... I have to wait until I'm 60. I'm 52 now, so that means I've got a good solid 7.5-8 years before I can even consider retiring. Regardless, come on, man. First gear. Not so much we're going up an incline really bad, just under some pretty tough rock. And pretty hard for the engine to get over. Yeah, I'm glad I left when I did. I might just make it by 5 to pick up these guys. Anyway, so I'm in a pretty good situation. My father, who in his own way is probably one of the wisest men I think I've ever known, and the great thing is he's he's really interested in my life and my happiness, and I've come to understand that his happiness and my happiness are a pretty good match. You know, some people want something completely different from their parents. I always thought that I was really different from my parents, and I'm probably not as different as I thought I was. And I think I may be a little bit closer in temperamental ways to my father in a lot of ways, both good and bad. Oh, come on, baby. Come on, now we're hitting some tough stuff. That was a hairpin turn. And going straight up, well, not straight up, but going up a pretty good incline while you're doing a hairpin turn. And pretty rough. Stay in first gear. Don't get excited. Slow down. Anyway, so, and this is a pretty steep little upgrade. If they put down cinder, it's so tricky. You know, you don't want dirt there. You have possibility of slime. So they put down some ground up rock. And it's kind of dark, so it's kind of cindery. And here we are at the gate, the trailhead. And now it's going to become more of just your standard Caliche Road. Get out of here. Oh, yeah, now I'm on the regular road. There's a campground up here. It's mostly just a place to park. There's really nothing to do up here on the upper part of it. There's some good Scrabble rocks, and it's probably just fun for kids climbing around. Not bad, you know, but yeah, it's definitely not. You know, you're nowhere near the river here. Yeah, down that road. Anyway, so I'm in pretty good shape here. Like, oh, I was talking about income, stuff like that. When I left Newton Gray last, I was making about 44. Now coming back to Newton Gray to my mother's much smaller house, paid for, and everything doing pretty good. I'm making 67-ish. Prospects look good. We've got a Democratic governor right now. All Democrats in New Mexico are big into education. They feel like that the more money you pour into education, the better everything is. I'm not sure if that's actually true or not. But I'm not going to sit here and complain. I get the same pay increase as the college professors and school teachers tend to. And it's pretty much an established fact that our universities are hard-pressed to attract good, talented faculty because we just don't pay enough. And so whenever there's money in the budget for it, or they'll usually even do it when there probably isn't money in the budget for it particularly, they'll cough up a 3-4% raise for all the school teachers and for all the everybody around education. So, chance of me getting a 4% raise. Plus, they usually give me a little bit more to try to incentivize me not to go flying off I got a reputation for flying off. This is the second time I've worked for the university in this sort of capacity. And I guess I'm what's considered a flight risk. And so if they want to keep me around, and they do right now, I usually get not only the 4% pay increase, but I also usually get 1 or 2 more percent as kind of a merit-based thing. I'm not saying that I particularly merit it, but I'm somebody that they don't want to lose. I have an established track record of being worth more than I'm getting paid. And so they always feel like it's in their best interest to try to pay me some more. So anyway, and whether that goes on in the future or not, it's bad right now. The pay is good. I've been doing what I'm doing for 2.5 years. My retirement pay is based on, it's a formula, but it's based on my best 20 quarters, which is 5 years, my best 5 years pay. So there really is some incentive to, you know, to stay in a job, to really rack up your pay with the annual increase. What did you get? And so you can, so when you do retire, it's usually based on your last five years of pay. You know, you can decide almost from quarter to quarter, you know, I'm going to get this much more now, you know, I'll get like $30 more a month now going forward. It's really a question of how long you want to do that. Of course, how much money you get paid is usually what, maybe from half to two-thirds or three-quarters. I think the standard is you usually get, if you got your full retirement, if you're not getting any pings for having taken it too young or not quite having put in 25 years or this or that or whatever. It usually goes pretty good. And I know guys who have worked for 50 years, you know, that's way beyond the normal 25, you know, so I could have retired 25 years ago. But they just keep doing it because you're always going to make more money getting paid for the job than how much you'll be making not being paid for the job anymore. I don't think there ever really comes a time. You know, everybody says, well, he should be making just as much in retirement now as he would have made just working. And you go, no, I don't think the calculation ever quite allows that. I don't think anybody ever makes more than maybe 3/4 of how much they made. And if you like your job, or if your job is to the point to where you're some kind of grand wizard, and if you just show up every day and take care of what little things kind of come to pass, you know, if you got that kind of a job, what's the, you know, can you continue doing that job for the foreseeable future? And the answer is, yeah, I can. You can keep doing the job. I hope it doesn't disturb too much the sound here by the fact that I turned on the cooler a little bit more. A little warm. I want to cool off. I want to actually dry off before I hit the missionaries too hard. Anyway, Mills Canyon, beautiful trip. and I'm in a good circumstance. I've got the resources to be able to do this. I can take the missionaries up to these wonderful corners of the branch. The Chickenkerry branch is really big, and so so it makes it so that I can go take them to one of the far reaches, and then go and take a little jog up to these other places. This Bill's Canyon is actually in the branch. I don't know exactly where the branch's upper thing is. I know it takes in all of, I'm pretty sure it takes in all of Harding County. It's pretty much Clay County, Harding County, a chunk of Guadalupe County, all the way to Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa is nice too. Need to go over there and do some swimming once in a while. City Lake is kind of a fun place to go swim. Anyway, and so there's all kinds of, you know, as long as you don't have huge, grandiose needs in life, you can finagle good reasons to come out to all these things. It's a wonderful opportunity for missionaries to come to some of the other towns in the area. They usually get stuck around Chickenkerry, and Chickenkerry's been picked over pretty hard over the years, and it's right at the edge of the mission. It's right at the edge of the state. It really is the kind of place that I enjoy. And these days, I've got an excellent paying job. Now, I do have to travel to get to my job, but there's days when it's like, you know what, I'm afraid of the weather, and I'll either take leave or I can remote in, and I think as long as I don't do that too often, as long as I don't start making that a regular feature of the job, I don't think anybody will complain particularly, and I might ultimately get our leadership to allow me to do a little more telecommuting. I probably could now, but it's like, well, we'll see. I might be able to get up to say, okay, don't come on Mondays and don't come on Fridays. You can just commute. All right, well, we're back to pavement, so that means that this little recording should probably end. This has been our Mills Canyon adventure. Took some pictures. It's been lots of fun, and I'll talk to you later.